buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, MG, hold on to your face masks. We have got a Barney brewing in the world of rugby league.
We certainly have. Ex-Tiger now, Seagull, Josh Alloy A, wants to take on Paul Gallen. And he's going to join us today to tell us all about it and see exactly what Gow's response is.
I can't wait. It feels like a lifetime ago that Gow fought Justice Hooney for the Aussie heavyweight title and
well,
lost.
Well, he's kind of like the Melbourne Storm of boxing at the moment. Everybody wants a piece of him. Everyone's after him because he is the man. And I think a lot of rugby league players and boxers know that if they're going to get Gow, they're going to get a good payday. So
well,
watch this space.
And from all reports, Josh Alloy can throw him.
Yeah. I've heard that.
So
people in the know say you can, but it's a bit different in front of a big crowd and a TV crowd and a bloke like Paul Gallen who just doesn't stop.
Mate, who's part machine. I swear he's
there's
a machine powering that body somewhere in there. He's a freak.
Josh
Alloy going to join us. We're also going to be joined by the Hammer, Shane Hill, to talk about the NBA season, which kicks off this week. Good Aussie representation. Interested to get his thoughts on Ben Simmons and the situation he finds himself in. And MG, I've prepared another quiz for you to check on your recollections
you.
Of the year of sport.
You're good to me.
I am good to you. I look after you.
You are.
But off the top, we need to do this.
What's cracking?
The Parramatta Eels, after a season where they went down to the hands of the eventual premiers, Penrith, now find themselves in a situation where a huge list of big names are being talked about as possibly departing the club.
How did this happen? 2 weeks ago, Brad Arthur signs an extension, and there was always a lot of players up for grabs as far as, but we all got the feeling that they were going to re-sign because they were onto something special. But all of a sudden, the pressure's right on them, and questions have been asked by Parramatta fans. Has our window shut? Is it, like Reid Marnie's future's in the air, near Cora has been linked to other clubs. Campbell Gillard's come out and said he wants to go be the face of the new Dolphins franchise. Papalihi, Paulo, Sivo, all free to negotiate from November 1. So, wow, that's if I'm a Parra fan, I'm saying, how did that happen?
Well, let's walk through it then. We know we discussed Regan Campbell-Gillard yesterday on the show. He has declined his player option for 2023, so he will be at the Eels next year, but essentially beyond that is a mystery. And that's not to say he won't re-sign with the Eels, but he's declined his player option, which is a pretty strong indication he won't.
Oh, he won't be there. He won't be there. Look, I think even... it's as we spoke about yesterday, to come out so far from announcement, having to make an announcement, it's kind of like a fractured relationship already.
Yep.
It's kind of like every time Regan does something bad on the field, like a drop ball or something, everyone goes, oh, his heart's not in it.
Yeah.
His heart's not in it. He doesn't want to be here. So he's not hiding to nothing. He's got to probably play the best season he's ever played to make sure the Parra faithful don't, burn down the doors.
And you would imagine to make sure that he gets as good a deal as possible from wherever he goes
True.
Next. Reid Marnie, similar situation. He is contracted for next season, can be signed by other clubs as of November 1. This is an emerging hooker so important to that Parramatta spine and to the way they play. You saw when he suffered his injury how the team suffered as well. But he's a Queensland boy and someone that, MG, you identified as a really strong target for the Dolphins. Now we're seeing reports that the Broncos are into him as well.
Yeah, another drama for Parramatta. Reid Marnie, who had a season-ending shoulder injury, he's just on the mend. I've been watching a little bit of social media on him. He's had his first run last week. He'll be back bigger and better, and he's one of them kids who has improved so much as a rugby league player. And if I'm Parra, I want him locked down. I want him locked down because every team now, you need a really good number nine. Number nine has become just as important as number seven in the competition, and Reid Marnie is on the cusp of the maroon jersey. I'm not sure when because Harry Grant's in front of him, but people are speaking about him in rap honours. So the Brisbane Broncos have now entered the fray, and Parramatta should be worried.
Then you've got the skipper, Clint Gutherson, whose negotiation was put on hold because it was muddying the waters somewhat during the finals campaign. Murata Neokora is reportedly in conversations with the Dragons and the Warriors and a third unnamed club. Isaiah Papalihi, who we know is on a cheap as chips deal, he'll need to be paid. And then there's Junior Paulo and Mike Asivo. MG, if you're the Parramatta bosses right now, if you're Brad Arthur, and you're sitting down with the power brokers and asking them to prioritise three of these players in order, where do they need to ensure that contracts are signed before November 1?
Reid Marnie.
You'd make him number one?
Number one, Reid Marnie. Yeah, I'm saying he's my number one signing. Look, Gutho, we know what Gutho can do. Gutho's a utility, I think, as anywhere in the back line can play. I'm still not sure where the fullback's his spot. I think I'd love to see him get more involved as like a 5-8 or in the front line a bit. I don't know, but okay. I think then Gutho.
Reid Marnie number one, Gutho at number two.
And then Nikora. I think he when Parra were at the peak of their powers midway through this season, we're still in 2021, jeez. he was in the centres. And he was fantastic. I think he can play anywhere in the back line. He started a few games at front row. So his utility value for a big man is unbelievably important. I would get him. Isaiah Papali'i, I think he should stay with Parramatta because Parramatta did the right thing by him and give him a lifeline. But Parramatta have got to realise they've got to pay him at least triple what he's on this year.
Sure.
He was on something like $150,000. He's got to go up to $450,000.
Yeah.
Because he played like a kid who was on that.
It is a really tricky situation they find themselves in, but this is part of rugby league, especially as we expand to a 17-team competition in 2023.
Well, you know, Tony Soprano, our
digital
guru,
Tony,
our
yes.
digital guru, he's a massive Parramatta fan. I asked Tony what he thought about it, and he said, as a fan with all these rumours, I'm looking at it as if we don't win the comp next year, that's it. Window shut and start a rebuild. So that's next year. If they don't, with all these players apparently about to, you know, flow the coop at Parramatta, you've got to think the same thing. If they don't win the comp next year, when will they?
Well,
they've got to start a rebuild sooner or later, and a bit like Penrith did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, I will say to Parramatta fans who are white knuckling the steering wheels wherever they are at the moment, all these players might stay.
Of course.
This conversation that Mitchell Moses said that the team had as a playing group during the final series and they came together, whatever was said might be enough for them all to stick around and really push on as a group. We don't know yet, but this is the situation we find ourselves in. MG, the NRL season is done and dusted. I mean, Panthers are the premiers. The grand final feels like a lifetime ago now. And yet today we have a reason to bring on a true rugby league forward just to get a player on the show.
Well, there's a storm brewing, and we love a brouhaha in rugby league, especially when it involves an ex-player and a current player who both can throw their mitts.
And the square circle, of course. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show for the first time as well, Manly forward Josh Aloyea. G'day, Josh.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for having me. Thanks for having me on.
Absolute pleasure, buddy. Well, the fuse has been lit. Paul Gallen, we know his prowess as a rugby league player and then a boxer, but apparently he might have some opposition in the hands of you.
Yeah, the pot's just stirring slowly at the moment. We're just waiting on... I know when Gal claps back, he's going to clap back hard, so I think everybody's just waiting to see what he has to say, really.
So talk us through this, Josh. How has this emerged? Because we know Gal's had fights, but then have you got some boxing pedigree about you?
But yeah, so it's... obviously, I grew up in New Zealand. Like, I've been in the boxing gym since I've been able to walk. I just haven't been able to be as active over the last couple of years in the off seasons with a couple injuries and surgeries and things like that. So everyone that's in the boxing know kind of would most likely pun on my side, probably surprisingly. But I guess the mainstream people think I'm kind of the underdog and come in as the underdog. But my team and the people that are in the boxing know, I think, will probably back me in this fight.
So where did this start? Did you challenge Gal? Did Gal seek you out for a fight? Is there an actual fight deal on the table?
Yep, there's a fight deal on the table. We're just looking over the contract, making sure everything's all good, going through that process of having lawyers look at it, and then we're going to probably most likely sign the contract today or tomorrow, and we're just kind of waiting to see if Gal will sign his side. Yeah, like I said, I actually didn't think that I was going to get Gallen straight away. He's kind of been in my sights for a little while, but I didn't think I was going to fight Gallen straight away, so I kind of told him, no limit, match me with anyone else. And then they came in. I think that they're struggling to find people that are willing to fight Gallen, and then we came to the conclusion, I'm happy to fight him. I'm ready now then.
Well, I love this. I mean, you know, his most recent fight was against the Australian heavyweight champion, MG, so I'm not surprised that they have been struggling to find people to jump in the ring with Gal.
Yeah, I've done a bit of digging around on Mr. Aloyea, and apparently, yes, his pedigree is right up there. a lot of the people in the know in boxing say that he can throw his hands very well in the ring. And look, it's if you're going to go for someone, I suppose that the number one target at the moment is an ex rugby league player called Paul Gallen.
Yeah, I guess in terms of literal fight time, Gallen's got more ring experience, as you'd say. But in terms of moving around with heavyweights and sparring, I'd have a lot more ring time than him. I've been doing it since I was a kid, and the only question now would be like, is Josh going to be as good under pressure, under the lights, in front of heaps of people? Is he going to be able to do what we know he can do? That'll be the main question. And I'm super comfortable in the ring. The event won't get to me. I'll get out there and I'll box well. I'm not worried about it.
So is there? I mean, I can't remember where I heard it, but the story I'd heard that back in the day, if you're on the league field, you didn't get in a fight with Monty Beetham because he could throw them. You know, is it known amongst the teams in the NRL, Josh, not to if something starts, find someone else to punch with, not Josh?
I'm not out there saying those things, but the one thing I will say is like, I'm ready to fight, Gal. So. There hasn't been a lot of people that have been keen to fight him, and once we came to the conclusion, I'm happy to do it. I'll get a camp in, and I will win the fight. I had a brief conversation with Gallen, kind of let him know like I'm gonna beat him in December. So it's exciting, and if you're in the know, if you've moved around with me in the ring, a lot of those people would say like, oh man, Josh has got the goods to beat Gal, and I think it's a little bit unknown, you know, like. In the Lucas Brown versus Gal and in the Mark Hunt versus Gal, Gallen had nothing to lose. Even if he lost those fights, he would have had a ton of respect against me, someone that's unknown, someone that's on debut, that there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of hype. Like, am I really that good? He's got a lot to lose against me, so it's probably a nerve-wracking fight for him.
Ooh.
Well, the best, and you've got it, the best thing about fighters who can promote themselves is that they back it up with their fists, and Gal's done it for the last couple of seasons of boxing. You're talking a fantastic fight, and I'm pretty sure you'll be able to back it up. Actually, I know you'll be able to back it up. How do we get, what happens now? I know Gal's come back with a bit of a cryptic response saying something about Tommy Turbo, and if you really
far
want
too cryptic for me, far too cryptic for me.
What does that mean? But what does he mean? Have you heard anything from?
I've hired a translator from overseas to come in and decrypt his decoded message. So I'm just waiting on he's working.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, still hasn't encrypted it yet.
Well, I think we might get producer Charlie on to Gal and see if we can't get Gal on to figure out his side of the story. But Josh, speaking of translators, Peter Volandis. Dally M Knight, and I'm sure you're sick of hearing this, but this, for those that missed it, this is Peter Volandis announcing the final votes for the Manly game that saw Tom Trbojevic claim the award.
Sea Eagles 36, defeat Bulldogs 18. One vote. Oshae Olay.
Who the hell is Oshae Olay, Josh?
That's going to be my fight name against Gal.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, bless him. He actually rang me up and apologized for that. And I told him just relax. It was funny and just laugh it off. Like, I couldn't care less.
Can you imagine if you come out to that and the Eye of the Tiger? It's a bit of irony as well. Just a rough salt.
I can see an awesome house remix there with Oshae Olay, like, you know, dubbed in over. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I can picture it.
Is Triple M going to put that together?
Oh, 100%.
This is it. We're going to get our
walkout song.
Producer walkout guru song. To make Josh Aloise walkout song for the fight. Oh, this is all coming together beautifully. Yes. I love this. Desi, he'd be ringside, wouldn't he, for the fight?
Yeah, he said if I lose, don't come to training.
I think Ricky Stewart said the same thing to Josh Papali'i. Good on you, buddy.
Outstanding, Josh. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the training. We cannot wait to see the official announcement of this fight against Paul Gallen.
Thank you. Take it easy.
MG, I'm going to test your grey matter very shortly with MG's brain game. Looking forward to it. The Tokyo Olympics. But we need to talk about this because it's been released this afternoon by the NRL. They have issued the Penrith Panthers with a breach notice after investigations into the conduct of Penrith Panthers players following the premiership they won a couple of weeks back.
Feels like 6 months ago now, doesn't it? I mean, come on.
Nathan Cleary and Stephen Crichton have both been issued with breach notices for damaging the trophy and acting in a disrespectful manner toward the NRL trophy, which in a disrespectful manner, I assume they just didn't take good enough care of it.
True. They might have accidentally dropped it.
$7,000 fine for Cleary and a $4,000 fine for Stephen Crichton.
Okay.
Tyrone May, he has been issued with a breach notice. Now, this obviously relates in to his social media post. He has been punished for acting contrary to the best interests of the game for posting and being part of a social media post which do not align with the values of the game. He has been asked to complete further education programs as directed by the NRL and also been fined $7,500. The Panthers have acknowledged the breach notices. It doesn't look like they'll be contesting them, but they've also stood Tyrone May down until further notice from all duties.
Okay, well, as far as Tyrone goes, I don't think he read the room. That wasn't the platform to come out and say what he had to say. I think he would say that to himself now. And they won a comp, and all we seem to be talking about is negative things about what's going on. It's it's disappointing. As far as the trophy goes, yeah, I if they found that they had a case to answer because of it, so be it. And I think just, you know, pay the fine and let's move on.
Can you imagine the punishment some of the Wallabies and All Blacks would have had over the years for what the stories you've heard about the Bledisloe Cup?
Okay, there's a common theme here. Can you imagine the damage would have to pay before social media came in to any other grand final winning team? So, boys, the message is, once you win the comp, put your phones in your bag for 3 days and just go party.
Shane Hill's going to join us very shortly, MG, to talk about the NBA, which kicks off tomorrow. Good Aussie representation there. And I'm interested to get the Hammer's take on Ben Simmons, because it's...
Yeah, he's a conundrum, isn't he, old Benny? He's
a mystery wrapped in a riddle.
He's reluctantly back at the 76ers, so we'll watch this space, I say.
But as we count down to the end of the year, I've prepared a batch of quizzes to test your memory on the year of sport we've just witnessed, MG. Now,
yep.
I told you, I gave you 7 days' notice that today's would be an Olympic-based quiz. Have you prepared?
No.
Well, you've only got yourself to blame.
We've just got to run some tests, Dr. Gaia.
You think you're so clever?
It's time for MG's Brain Game.
Yeah, MG's Brain Game, where we see just how much attention you've been paying across the year. MG, Olympic themed, the Tokyo Games this year. It was a fantastic Olympics in the height of COVID. Well done to everybody involved to get it off the ground. I'm going to start with a softball for you. Who were the Australian flag bearers at the opening ceremony?
That was Patty Mills and our swimmer. Oh, I've got her face.
I need her name, though.
She's got a sister, Bronte. She does. The sister's Bronte.
Yep.
Her name's Kate.
There you go. Surname? Starts with the same letter. It's type of soup.
Campbell.
Correct. Well done.
Sorry, Kate.
Where did Australia finish on the overall medal tally?
Sixth.
Well done. You've got that in front of you on your phone, don't you?
No, I haven't. With 17 gold. So, just in case you want to throw a bonus point.
When backstroker Kaylee McEwen won her first gold medal in the 100 metres backstroke and she exited the pool, she was asked on pool deck by Channel 7, Australia's official Olympic broadcaster, if she had a message for her family back home. What did she say?
Well, I know she said after, because she apologised and said, oh, shit.
Yep.
She swore.
Yep.
And said, how effing good.
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. She swore.
What a character.
You're going nicely, mate. Okay, Jess Fox, your neighbour. Did she win her gold medal? She won a bronze and a gold. Did she win her gold medal in the canoe or the kayak?
Kayak.
It was the canoe. Oh. She was a bronze medalist in the kayak. Wow. Okay. Next question. I need you to listen to this piece of audio.
Sort of like Doc Brown. I mean, he is going crazy. Oh, my goodness.
Who are those commentators referring to, MG?
No, you got me.
Dean Boxall, the coach of Ariane Titmus, after she won the 400-meter gold medal.
Yeah, doing the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, thrusting into the...
I still want to talk to him. I still want to speak to him in our show. I think it'd be a great chat.
Okay, all right. You got it wrong, though. Who did the Boomers defeat in their bronze medal match to claim their first ever Olympic medal?
Doncic.
Yep, he's a player. Where's he from?
Yeah, he plays for Luka Doncic. He plays for...
You know what? I'm going to give that to you. Slovenia. Because it was basically just Luka Doncic.
Yeah,
right. I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. What was unique about the men's Olympic high jump final?
It was joint gold medal.
Can we have two gold? It's possible. It depends if you decide. If you both decide on Olympic champions.
Uh-huh. Correct.
That was one of the highlights of the games for mine. Look, individual sport, you get a lot of athletes who would never ever dream of doing that in a million years.
Yep.
But the fact that they were willing to share it, the Italian, was it the
Gianmarco Tamberi of Italy and Mutaz Esebashim of Qatar.
Yeah, good
to, who are training buddies, they're, yeah. they're mates, they travel everywhere together. Imagine being able to experience that with your mate sharing an Olympic gold. So well done. MG, if I said to you, doing a doubler, what would I be referring to?
In the men's heptathlon or decathlon.
Decathlon.
He helped decathlon. Yep. He helped his mate home for a bronze medal.
Well done.
To get him on the podium.
Essentially paced Ash Maloney to the result he needed in the final 1500 metres race to ensure that Ash Maloney won the bronze medal. Well done. You are flying. You are, your brain is on point today. Which country was the men's 100 metres sprint Olympic gold medalist from?
I can picture him. I can picture him. It's Norway?
No, I know who you're thinking of, though. That's the 400 metres. Italy. Lamont.
Italy.
Marcel Jacobs.
Yeah, because they went almost back-to-back. Remember, the Italian won his 100 metres at the same time that last question between the high jumpers, and they braced each other. Yeah, silly me.
All right, lastly, MG. Peter Boll. Famously the first Aussie to make the 800-metre final in almost 50 years.
Yeah, he was.
Where did he finish?
Fourth.
You're right. He did finish fourth in a fantastic performance that had the Sudanese community in this country on their feet cheering.
Well, especially in his hometown of WA.
Wasn't it
fantastic?
They were
going ballistic. It was fantastic.
Now, you failed in the NRL preseason quiz last week. You've demolished that quiz.
Thank you.
Absolutely smashed the Olympic quiz.
I knew a lot more than I thought I would put
you
it
that did.
Way.
You did very, very well. I'm going to give you a pass mark there, and I'm going to tell you next week we will be talking about State of Origin.
Oh, right up my alley.
State of Origin quiz. Okay
well, I'll make a bold forecast. I'll get 80%.
Oh, no, that's a mistake. That's a mistake.
You give me 10 questions, I'll get 8 right.
I haven't even written the questions now. Right, well done, MG. That is the MG's brain game. That'll be back next week. MG, the NBA season is upon us. We've obviously got the NBL not far away as well, but tomorrow the NBA kicks off and a good, strong representation of Aussies in the league this year.
I can't think of a time we've had more of a presence in the NBA, especially after the Olympics when we've got guys like Josh Giddey and Jock Landau and obviously Patty Mills going to the Nets, but there's only one man we speak to when we speak about the NBA or anything basketball, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Shane the Hammer Hill, Sydney Kings legend, also spent a bit of time with the Spurs and the Minnesota Timberwolves in the NBA. G'day, Hammer.
Hello, boys. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's our pleasure, mate. It's exciting. Obviously, during COVID, the NBA kind of had back-to-back seasons almost, but now kind of they've had a legitimate preseason, and the boys start tomorrow. Who are we liking, mate? Who are we liking for the top of the tree again?
Well, I mean, it's hard to go past the Bucks, isn't it? Just because of their stability, the success they had last year. Their superstar probably works harder than anyone in the competition, and he's reformed his jump shot a little bit, so they're probably setting the tone, but, you know, the Nets have obviously got the talent to be able to score more points than anyone else, but can they seriously challenge and pull it together from camaraderie as well?
Well, there are so many teams that can compete. I mean, you've got the Lakers with all the stars that they've got on there, and obviously the Nets, as you mentioned. Let's drill down on some of the Aussies who are participating this year. And staying with the Nets, Patty Mills, off the back of the Olympic performance, his first time not with the Spurs, what feels like forever. How much of a role will he play, or what sort of a role is he going to be expected to play in that Nets team alongside James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant?
Well, I think he's going to play a really, really important role, and how big that is will probably determine on how Kyrie Irving goes with his back situation and everything else. He could get thrown in and play, you know, a way bigger role than what they signed him for, and we know that Patty can get it done on the world stage, particularly when he's around superstars. He's going to get more open shots than he's had in his whole career, so that could be deadly for them. But even if Kyrie does play, I still think over 82 games, you know, he becomes so important, that veteran leader in the locker room, but we know he can score, and I think he's just going to be the perfect complement to the stars they've got.
What about Ben? How are you feeling about Ben? Because I don't know how to feel about it. There's times where I think, Ben, just get out there and play basketball. There's times where I think, no, but you've got to look after your own interests. Where do you sit on the whole Ben Simmons situation?
Well, I reckon I could argue with myself, and I think everyone is sort of in the same boat here, and I'll go the first one. If you're Ben Simmons, and you finish last season, you hear Doc doubt him, you hear Embiid throw him under the bus, you see the Philadelphia fans burn your jersey, you know, in the streets, and clearly, none of them clearly want him back. You can understand why he's sucked his thumb and sucked it up a little bit and not wanted to go back. And then on the other hand, you say, mate, you're making hundreds of millions of dollars. Harden up. Get yourself back there because you've got to be able to show that you can fight through it. Now, at the end of the day, he wants to get traded. They want to trade him. And this is just a stepping stone to be able to do it. But I tell you, it wouldn't be a great feeling in that locker room. It doesn't matter what they say in the press conferences. There's a lot of bad blood there.
Yeah. You were one of our best Olympians because you just put that jersey on and a bit like Patty Mills, went next level. What do you think could have happened? What's the pros that would have happened if Ben Simmons went away with the Olympic team?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is, Ben's got to want to do it. I know we always talk about, you know, what could it be for Australia and everything else, but I think you've got a set of standards there, and the culture's been unbelievable for the last 30, 40 years with the Boomers. Mm. And if you have to recruit a player to come and play for your country, then they're the wrong player. I say leave them out. Ben has to want to be there and understand that you only play for Australia because you're prepared to sacrifice your whole off-season. You want to be with your mates. You're prepared to play a role. You can't bring your posse of, you know, people that are around you and everything else. It's just what you do when you play for Australia. So when he gets to that stage, and if he feels like he wants to do it and stops teasing the whole nation that I'm going to do it, and then pull out at the last minute, then I think it could be good for both parties. There is no doubt that he needs a little bit of Aussie in him and some home truths and some mates to be able to, you know, embrace him a little bit. But you've got to want that as well. And I think if he does decide that he wants to be able to do that, then the upside's huge for the Boomers because his talent and his size and his defensive presence and his passing ability is just off the charts.
Prediction time. We want us to tell us who's going to win the thing, who are the Smokies, and which Aussie do you think will perform the best in the NBA this season?
Well, you'd probably still say that Benson's going to perform the best, but I guess with, you know, we haven't spoken about Giddy.
Oh.
Giddy is so exciting. And what he's done in the preseason, I just hope, that his season is a success like it will be. His dad's a terrific bloke, teammate, ex-rugby league, rugby union and stuff growing up as a schoolboy as well. So good on him. I think that both teams that won from the West and the East are both going to be really competitive, but the Clippers are going to be better. You know that Utah is going to be consistent as well. And then when you go back the other side, I'm not sure Philly's got everything. I'm not sure that Embiid's that franchise player that's going to take them to glory. I think Miami is a team that's probably going to surprise people in the East a little bit because they've got a whole lot of grunt, a whole lot of attitude there and a whole lot of scoring as well to be able to get that done. But you'd have to think the Nets are going to be up there as well.
Oh, it is going to be setting out to be a terrific season, as you mentioned. Josh Giddey, this first-round draft pick, we cannot wait to see what he does with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we cannot wait to see what Shyla Hill does next as well, because she's a rising star of Aussie basketball as well. So, Shane, thank you very much for your time, I think we might have to get Hammer back on when the NBL season kicks off.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Not
well,
far
and
away.
You know what we need to do is we need to get you guys out to Kudos Bank Arena because the Kings and Flames have got 6 doubleheaders this year. So we're going to be playing before the Kings. So double the entertainment, which is going to be a whole lot of fun as well.
Okay,
so
hear that marketing? Marketing, all the marketing people out there on the chairs. Hear that, dudes? Yep. Hammer's telling us to get to the
Kudos Bank Arena. MG, you and I know this. The single greatest sports experience in Sydney at the moment.
You can't beat live basketball. You can't beat live
basketball.
You can't beat it.
Shane here, we appreciate your time. Be well, and we'll speak to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, fellas.
Always good to have the Hammer on. MG, we got to get out of here tomorrow. Brock Jarvis, the rising star of Aussie boxing. He's still in the States after that win in Vegas. He will be joining us on the show. Can't wait to speak to that young man, but we got to get out of here.
As always, our beautiful listeners, thank you for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.